Good. John 3. That's a familiar verse. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. It's pretty inclusive, isn't it? God just didn't love a few. God just didn't love certain people. He didn't just love certain races. He didn't just love certain groups or certain incomes. The whole world. Mark, go back to Mark. Chapter 16. The last chapter in Mark. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 15 says, preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Say our message is titled, Who is Our Target? Who is our target? We'll have a word of prayer and we'll talk about this and explain it to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, Lord. And I believe this is exactly what you have for church. Today, Lord, at Open Door Baptist Church, you spoke to me over a week ago and said, I want this preached. And Lord, you gave me great passion for it. You showed me so many verses, so much truth, Lord. You threw verse after verse after verse after verse after me. Everywhere I'd read this last 2 weeks, Lord, has had this same type of thing in it, Father. Lord, we want to take a position today in our church of where we stand, what we want to do, where we want to go, and what our future is. And I pray today you would help us to do that, Lord. Please speak through me. Please, Lord, give us a heart of love for people. I pray that, Lord, if we have a heart of love for people, please help us, Father. Please give us your Holy Spirit's power and blessing. Help us to be exactly what you want us to be. Help us to learn exactly what you want us to learn. Help us make decisions we ought to make, Father. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses make it clear you're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. God loves everybody. We've been kind of taking a position of our church as of late, and exactly where we stand. I want you to know what we are. We don't ever hide things from people. We don't sneak around what we believe. We just kind of say this is what we believe. And I find a lot of people like what we believe who really want to serve God because we believe the Bible. We go by what it says. There is sometimes in Christianity, throughout history, if you ever follow Christianity's history, you'll find times when the church moves in wrong directions for a while. They get off on tangents. Sometimes they get in deep heresy, and most of Christianity was in deep heresy from about 400 A.D. until about 1500 A.D., if you can believe that. There were still Bible-believing Christians believe the truth, but during the Dark Ages, the Christianity was just a disaster. Selling influences that could buy your ancestors out of purgatory, all kinds of crazy things, unscriptural things, is a mess. Sometimes Christianity goes through these waves, these short-term things, they go off into la-la land. The good thing is we have this right here. And this gives us instructions. So over the last about 8 or 9 years, prosperity gospel has been a theme. It's going down a little bit right now. Christianity's kind of dawned on them that, hey, you know, this really isn't biblical. It took them a while. All they do is read the Bible. It could have told them that. And fortunately, prosperity gospel is just starting. It's starting to go back down the hill and these fads. The Bible calls for being blown about with every wind of doctrine. Now, if you're in our church, we preached on it. We said, hey, it's prosperity theology is wacko. It's unbiblical. It's clear in Scripture. We did that. There's a little tangent off prosperity gospel that's going around right now. And this thing is taking over. And it's a little bit different. A little bit, it's by good men. It's a crazy thing. It's founded by good men who believe the Bible and who are saved. Which happens sometimes. Good Bible-believing people get off. I can get off someday off center. I can do that. I can wander. I can get off on a tangent. I can have the world give me my thinking, or I can change. We have a thing going in Christianity now. I just want to state our position of where we're going on this. The man who really started this is a good man. He's born again. He preached the gospel of Christ. And I love that guy. He's a good guy. I don't know him personally, but I know who he is. I know his ministry. And thank God for him. But he wrote a book about building churches about 6 years ago. I have the book. And he did some things wrong. He went to the wrong people to figure out how to build a church. He went to the world instead of Christ. And he is the influential person in the entire Christianity right now. He is more influential than Billy Graham. He's more influential than anybody. And he's a good man. And I'm not going to even name him because I don't want to tear him down. But people have followed him and took in his teachings, which are a little bit off, even farther. And now we're messed up. And it's gotten us all messed up. Let me just show you a little bit. This is the book here. If you took the number 2 through 10 books on church building right now and combined them, they would not be as influential as this number one book. It is the book everybody's doing right now. And what it does is it teaches you to target a certain group of people in your area. You find out who you want to reach in your area, and you target them. You find out what they want, who they are, and all the other things. It doesn't sound too bad. For example, here is the target right there in the book. See that guy there? That's who he's trying to reach. He draws a bio on this guy. He is well-educated. He likes his job. He likes where he lives. Health and fitness are high priorities for him and his family. He'd rather be in a large group than a small one. He is skeptical of organized religion. He likes contemporary music. He thinks he is enjoying life more than he did 5 years ago. He is satisfied, even smug, about his station in life. He prefers casual and formal and informal over the formal. He is overextended in both time and money. And that's the guy they target. And they build. You build what you do, you build a ministry, and you find out what this guy wants, and you do what he wants. And you build a church around what that guy wants and what he is comfortable with. Sounds like a good philosophy. It's a good philosophy in marketing a business. It's great. That's what you do in marketing. That's not what you do in church building. In church building, you take a poll of what somebody wants. And what somebody wants in a church, what they think the church is. The only thing is that poll goes upward. See, God, what do you want in a church? Lord, what should a church be like? And you got this book here. This book says a few things about what a church should be like. It says exactly how it should be, and you take a poll of what God says. Now, that does not mean that you should not try to be relevant in your society. I spend a lot of time trying to learn things so I can talk to anybody. I spend a lot of time learning about sports so I can talk about sports. I learn about things I'll never need. I learn all about the stock market. I can tell you what the S&P 500 is, and I can tell you what dollar cost averaging is, and what a REIT is, and how to invest in the stock market. And all these things, I can tell you the difference between the NASDAQ and the Dow, and I can tell you all that stuff. Do I ever use it? No, but I want to relate to everybody. At the same time, I've learned things that for people who don't, I can talk to somebody who's at the very bottom. I want to learn about how to talk to somebody who doesn't have anything, and who doesn't have anything in life, and they're dirt poor. I want to relate to everybody. I want to do that. This idea isn't a bad idea of itself, but what's happened, is people have taken this way too far. Churches, this is the book for churches nowadays. You don't notice, most churches are basing everything about around that. They're targeting a certain person and working everything around that one type of person and basing their church on that. And that person is always the same type of person. I was taught something like this, but a lot lighter version of it when I was in Bible college and just going to conferences here and there. What they used to say is, you must learn to reach white middle-class America. That's what they used to say. By that, they weren't racist. They didn't mean anything by that. They meant just the average person, the average middle-class person. And what you'll do is your finances that they'll bring in will be able to help you to reach the lower class by their giving, and they can do that. And you reach the if you got to learn how to reach the white middle-class person in America. Now it's got to be you target a certain person. You build your entire program around making that person the music he likes, the type of church he likes, the lighting he likes, the atmosphere he likes. You look like he likes you to look. You act like he likes you to look. And that's not all bad, but people have taken it too far. Now we've gotten to the point where they have taken this teaching so far on who you reach and who you're targeting that it's gotten way out of line in the biblical. Now we've got a specific target. And now churches are shooting for one group of people. Nowadays they've taken it so far where there are people not wanted in churches anymore because they don't fit the mold. Nowadays, we've got certain groups that we just want this certain individual group. And nowadays, if this group of people doesn't feel comfortable, this people, they don't feel comfortable, that's no big deal because we're looking for this group of people. These are the people we want to reach. If you know how far this has gone, I'll tell you a little bit later how far it's gone, you would be surprised. Right now they say reach the middle, upper middle class. That's who your target is. That's who you're supposed to focus on. Only one problem with this. It's unbiblical. That's the whole problem with it. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. I want you to know our position on this, because it is, folks, good church are doing this now. It is taken over and it's gone way too far. This is unbiblical. What does the Bible say about this? It's good to get ideas from books and everything else, but never above the Bible. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. We're gonna do a couple verses in Galatians, and they're key verses that we'll get to, and we'll talk a lot about it. I'll explain all this to you and show you where we've gone and show you what our church is about, so you know exactly what we're doing. Galatians chapter 2. By the way, I'm not trying to tear this man down. I won't tell you who he is. I won't tell you the name of the book. I don't want to tear him down. God bless him, and he doesn't mean bad, and most of what he says is pretty good, but we followed this thing way too far, and we're wacky now on this thing. And it is a plague in Christianity. It is, everybody's doing it. I mean, good churches that I'm friends with, everybody's doing this now. Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. Only that we should remember the poor, the same which I was for to do. We're going to read about the poor a whole bunch more, but let me just read that one verse while we're here. Galatians chapter 3. This is so good right here. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded it all under sin. I love that. Everybody. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up to faith, that should afterward be revealed. Verse 26. For we are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many as you've been baptized in Jesus Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Notice that. Not Jew nor Greek. God says, I don't care your nationality. He says, bond nor free. I don't care if you're a slave or a slave owner. It doesn't matter. There is neither male nor female. Either one's more important. For you're all one in Christ. Remember, verse 22 said, for all are under sin. You know what? Let me just give you a statement here. The ground is level at the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. God says, I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care if you're Gentile. I don't care if you're a slave. I don't care if you're a slave owner. I don't care if you're free. I don't care what your status in life. You're all the same people to me. I love all of you. There is no respect of persons with God. We'll read that later. The ground is level at the cross. You know why? It says it's concluded all under sin. You know the richest man in the world who churches would love to have is a sinner who needs saved. And you know the poorest man in the entire world is a sinner who needs saved. You know the smartest guy on the planet? Me. Is a sinner, amen, is a sinner who needs saved. You know the dumbest guy on the planet? I'm not going to point anybody. The dumbest guy on the planet who has no intelligence is a sinner who needs saved. The ground is level at the cross. Why? Because everybody's just a sinner who needs saved by grace. God says, hey, there's nobody. In Christ, you're all the same. There's no better, there's no worse. Nobody's above anybody else. The ground is level at the cross. Are the poor important even though they can't give? That's what churches need to ask nowadays. That is what churches need to ask nowadays. You know, I know an assistant pastor in a good church. I know a lot of churches across America, and I know a lot of assistant pastors, and I have a lot of friends from Bible college. I said, what's your job? I was talking to him. I said, how's it going? What's your job? And he told me this to start his or his words. He said, my job is to chase money. He says, I get all the visitors' cards on Sunday, and I was told to find out who looks like they have a lot of money and make sure I go visit them. That is a Bible-believing church who preaches the gospel. A good church, by the way, that's followed this stuff right here. That's his words. He said, my job is to chase money. I have to look for people who look like they have money who visit the church, and I'm supposed to visit them. And if they look like they don't have anything, I don't go to them. That's where we've gone, folks, in this thing. We have gone to stereotyping people and going to groups and the church. You ever notice how much churches talk about money now? Here I am. I'm trying to raise extra money for the church. But you know how rare that is. That is rare. I don't know I've ever done that, ever, in our church. Folks, but churches now, they always talk about money. They're always talking about buildings. And it seems like churches aren't satisfied unless they have fancy buildings. And unless the preacher drives a Lexus or a Cadillac now, and unless everybody has money, we are getting, and that's where prosperity gospel comes in, and everything's about money, everything's about all that stuff. We have gotten to this thing, folks. By the way, the rich person is not worse than the poor person. They're all the same. There's no better, there's no worse. Nobody's more or less welcome. Let's see what the Bible says has to say about how you treat the poor. Let's see what's going to happen to churches who treat the poor wrong. Turn to Proverbs. A whole bunch of verses. We can read a lot of verses. I left out so many verses today. There are so many verses. There's no way we can read them all on this issue. But the Bible has a lot to say about this issue specifically. A lot to say. And I can't believe that churches are falling for this. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that Bible-believing, born-again Christian churches are falling for this. That's what's amazing. And folks, I'm just in our position. We're not going this way. We're not going to respect people. Everybody at our church is equal. Everybody at our church is important. Whether they give a dime, whether they give $1 million, it's all the same. Let's see, look what happens, how you treat the poor, and what God has to say about that. We'll just touch a few verses. We can read a whole bunch more. We just don't have time. Proverbs 14. Look at verse 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, and he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. So if you honor God, you have mercy on the poor. If you approach God, you don't have mercy on the poor. Look at Proverbs 21:13. I don't want this to come upon me. This is an amazing verse. Proverbs 21:13. Let's see what the Bible says about treating the poor. Whoso stoppeth his ears to cry the poor, he shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Wow. Guys, you be pretty careful how you treat the poor. It's a pretty important verse there. Proverbs 19. Verse 7. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do the friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. So the wrong kind of person isn't a friend of the poor. Proverbs 21. We read verse 13. I'm sorry, Proverbs 28. These are just a few verses of what happens and how you treat the poor. Proverbs 28. It's like a poor person would be pretty good here. Verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. You know, I'd rather have in our church somebody who's dirt poor and doesn't have anything than one of the executives of Enron who are crooked. What it says. It says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than though somebody be rich, though they're wicked, though they're not good, than someone who's crooked and rich. You know, rich people can be very crooked. Though he is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. God says, I'm not impressed by your money. You got a messed up life. And I'm not impressed. And God says, hey, I can respect the poor or the rich, depending on who they are inside. Verse 27 of chapter 28. He that giveth the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. It's like God says, it's pretty important how you treat the poor, doesn't it? A lot of verses. There's so many verses we didn't even read on the poor and how you treat the poor. The Bible says, he that giveth the poor lendeth to the Lord. The Bible says, there are so many verses we could read on these verses. Sounds like the poor are pretty important. Like maybe churches shouldn't despise them. Pretty important. We'll read more verses in later in James 1. This last, recently, I had me yet another sitting down and talking to by a preacher to sit down and tell me how messed up I was and how I shouldn't continue the ministry like I am. And then I should quit working with messed up people and not and we should start focusing on the middle and upper middle class And I shouldn't try to work with the drug addicts and the messed up people and the people whose lives are all destroyed. And just focus on the middle class, normal, upper middle class people who got it all together. Another talking down. You know how many times I've been sat down to talk to? The preachers talk about me because I'm like this. Because I reach out to poor and reach out to messed up people and sinners. See, what they want is they want me to just go and take the people who are in a certain class and say, you're wonderful, you're great, let's just make you happy, and you give it to church, and we'll have a lot of money, and everybody's happy. You know, I don't think that's what God had in mind. That's not at all biblical. And I had another talking to. Another preacher told me that I'm a failure, that I don't know what I'm doing, that I'm wasting my time working with messed up people. Pretty sad, isn't it? Preacher after preacher has talked to you about this. You need to target the middle class, the upper middle class. You need to target certain people. We do target people. Remember, the title of our message is, Who is our target? Who is our target? Look at Jesus. He had some targets. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 2. I got that written down. I gave you my own. Luke chapter 21. I can't read my own writing. Luke 21. Let's see if Jesus thinks the same way as Christianity is going right now. And I hope they don't continue to go there. By the way, they'll probably come back in about 8 or 10 years and say, you know, that was a really dumb idea. That's what we'll do. They'll get back to when the bad wears out. The wind of darkness blows the other way. You know, we're never going to change. We're not going to go that way. Look at Luke 21. And he, looking up, saw rich men casting their gifts in the treasury. And Jesus said, aren't they wonderful? I've been targeting them, and I'm glad they're in my church. That's what he said, right? Verse 2. And he saw a certain poor widow, poor person in church. Oh, should have locked the door before she got in. A certain poor widow cast in her 2 mites. What kind of offering is that? And he said, but truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. Looks like Jesus had a little different opinion about giving and who gives and not gives. I wonder if Jesus would have told his assistant pastor to go chase that lady down because she has money. Verse 4. For all these have their abundance cast in the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Interesting. Looks like a poor person got praise of God there, didn't it? And God is glad to have a poor person giving and a poor person there in church. Look at this. I'll show you another poor person who's pretty important. 2 Corinthians. And now I want to take this focus off where Christianity is going and just talk about us. Because we can't change Christianity. We can work on Open Door Baptist Church. And I want to work on us and what we're targeting. Are the poor important? Let me show you a pretty important poor person here that some churches might do good to get him in their church. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. The Bible says Jesus was poor there. I wonder if they'd want Jesus in their church because he's not poor nowadays. It says Jesus was poor. I wonder if churches would want Jesus. I wonder if churches would want him to come to the church because he was just a poor carpenter and didn't have much. Didn't have a place to lay down his head. Interesting. Let me say this. Nobody is more important than anybody else. Who is our target? Everybody. For God so loved the world. That's our target. The world. That's it. Folks, we are here to love everybody. We don't care what their financial income is. I never look at the offerings. I don't want to know who gives. Because I don't want to treat anybody different. I don't treat anybody different. I don't want to treat the poor person who comes in here who can't give a dime. I don't want to treat the richest person in the world who comes in here who can give $1 billion differently because it's all level of cross. They're all sinners who need to preach the Word of God and need to be loved. Everybody's even. Nobody is more important. The rich person is more important than the poor person, and the poor person is more important than the rich person. We're not catering to the poor either. We're not catering to anybody. We're catering to God. And we're loving everybody and showing everybody love. Nobody's more important. The rich isn't important. The Poor isn't important. Everybody's important. We're not catering to a certain race. We're not shooting for white or black or red or yellow or green or purple or chartreuse or mauve or anything else. We don't care what color anybody is. It's all the same. Everybody of any race is the same. Everybody of any income. The richest person in the world is the same in the sight of Christ as the story I read about the people who live in the gigantic open garbage pile in the Philippines that fell on them and crushed them to death because they lived there. Their house is in the garbage dump. That person who lives in that garbage dump who has never left it is just the same important to God as Bill Gates. Not more important, same importance. The cannibal in the middle of the Congo is just as important as I am. Everybody's important. Every single person you meet, the drugged out person, homeless person, who smells bad is important because Jesus died for him. Not more important than a rich person, but just as important. And the rich person needs the gospel and he's important. And don't despise the rich either. I hate rich people. Rich people are all terrible. No, they're not. There's wonderful rich people who love God. And there's wonderful poor people who love God. And there's terrible, vicious poor people, and there's terrible, vicious, rich people. When they come to Christ, it's all level. Our target is the world. The person you don't like at work is our target. The relative that you're bitter at is our target. Your best friend is our target. Your mom is our target. Your dad. The person on the mission field that we can't even get to see is our target. Everybody. If somebody walked in that door, it doesn't matter who they are. You love them. You give them love. If Bill Gates walks in that door today, he's going to get the same greeting as a homeless man. I'm going to walk up, I'm going to shake his hand and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to give him a visitor's card and he's going to get to preach it. He's going to be treated just the same because everybody's important. The ground is level at the cross. For in Christ, neither circumcision or uncircumcision, Jew nor Greek, rich or poor, bond or free, it doesn't mean anything, for all are guilty before God. We all need love. We all are just sinners saved by grace. I had me another talking to get me straightened out. Get me to start targeting certain people. Don't spend so much time with messed up people. Let them go their way. You need to just get low maintenance people in your church who can give a lot. Build a nice building. Get yourself financially stable. And I said, forget it. It's not scriptural. That's not the Bible way. That's not God's way. I didn't say that. I listened. And I nodded and I said, thanks. I work hard to relate to everybody because everybody's important. Look at Luke chapter 4. Let's visit a few more verses. By the way, the reason everyone's equal is because everyone has needs. Sometimes the poor are poor for a reason, oftentimes. In America, if you work hard, I believe you'll prosper. Yeah, maybe a millionaire, but there's bosses who are looking for good workers. And many times the poor are poor because of sin. Because of a drug habit or something else. Many times the rich are rich because of sin, because they stole the money and they're crooked. It's all the same. But you know what? That poor person who's lazy and doesn't work and is poor because of that, they need love because they need to get that sin out of their life. And the rich person who stole a bunch of money from people and is crooked needs the love of God because he needs to get the sin out of his life. Everybody needs the gospel and needs Christ. My hero in the ministry, the greatest pastor in the history of the world, talks about God's blessing on him in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is Jesus talking here. Here's his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor. Oh, Jesus never read the book, I guess. Well, he's outdated, isn't he? Preach the gospel of the poor? That's the wrong class, Jesus. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, high maintenance people, you don't want them. To preach deliverance to captives. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work. And recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's like Jesus had a ministry to hurting hearts, didn't it? It's like Jesus had a ministry to people who had heartaches, pains. You know, I've sat there since I've been here. I've counseled and sat across from millionaires. And counseled them. And I've sat across and counsel people who are homeless, and counsel them. You know, I find out both of them have heartaches and problems. Both of them. Now, I'll admit this, the rich person is much better at hiding. They are much better at hiding their drug addictions. They're much better at hiding their family problems. They know how to dress and look sharp. Sometimes a poor person doesn't. Man, pastor, they're in the middle of church and everybody's right. Man, pastor, pray for me. I've got a terrible problem with crack. And you go, okay, I'll pray for you. And so will everybody else, I think. The rich people know how to hide it better, but you know what? They got the same problems. They're lonely. They have family problems. They worry. They have drug problems. They have alcohol problems. And the middle class is lonely and has family problems, has heartaches, has broken hearts, has drug problems, has alcohol problems. And the poor people have some loneliness and drug problems and alcohol problems and heartache and everything. Folks, we're all the same. We're all sinners who need Christ. All of us have heartaches and are lonely, and every single person, whether it's that rich person and the millionaires I've talked to or the poor person, here's what I've learned to do. Listen to them, show them I love them, tell them I love you, and then open this book and show them the answer. Because all of them have the answer right out of this book. Everybody. Who is our target? It's everybody. It's Bill Gates and it's the homeless guy. It's Paul Allen and it's the guy living on the side of the street. Do I like the guy on the side of the street going up and washing a windshield, a dirty windshield wiper makes it worse? No. Do they do things that are wrong? Yes. Do the rich people do things that are wrong? Yeah. Everybody in Christ, God says, everybody is a sinner. Go reach everybody. Preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, just find somebody and love them and bring them to Christ. Everybody. Our church is not targeting rich people. Our church is not targeting poor people. I want to be able to talk to the guy who's invested $1 million. I want to be able to talk to the guy who's wondering which bankruptcy attorney to use. And talk to all of them. I want to be able to talk to the person who's a drug addict. I want to be able to talk to the person who is the sharpest, most intelligent guy, who's grew up in religious all of his life, but has never accepted Christ. Everybody's important. I work with a lot of strange, messed up people. A lot. I can tell you stories for hours about people that are so strange that I worked with, so messed up. But here's a statement I get a lot. I wish I didn't get this statement, but I get this statement a lot. You're the only ones who still believe in me. I get this statement a lot. You're the only ones who are there for me. This statement, everybody else has given up on me except for you. And every once in a while I get this statement here. You're the only one I know that still loves me. See, that's what we want to be. Somebody who loves everybody. No matter how bad they messed up. I've been in the jail helping people who were there for a long, long time. And I've been in some pretty nice places and pretty rich people. Not a lot, because rich people don't think they need help a lot. Poor people know they need help. Rich people don't. And the Bible teaches that, and we'll read that a little later. But I find that everybody needs to be loved and needs to know God loves them and needs to know that they need a Savior. I have people I talk to that are not all there. You know what? I love them. I like people. You notice that? I just like people. I like weird people. I like normal people. I like sharp people. I can tell you so many stories about... I can talk to an average guy about sports and have the time of my life. You know, this week I had somebody sit down and talk to me about how there's a satanic conspiracy chasing them, trying to kill them. And I don't believe them. Don't tell anybody that. They're probably going to come to our church because I actually love them and told them I love them and care about them. And I say, that's something. Wow, that's interesting. They're chasing you. Wow. I've had more weird people that nobody else wants to talk to. I remember I knocked on the door one time. Door's still closed. Who is it? Pastor broke the door back to church. I started talking. Opens the door. Just a crazy looking guy. He had that faraway look in his eyes, you know. I just love people. I just started talking to him. Like, yeah, I'm talking to anybody. How you doing? Da 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 da. He goes, do you think that the wheels in the book of Ezekiel were UFOs? I said, nah, probably not. He goes, you don't think so? He started talking to me. All of a sudden, he realized I liked him. I want to talk to him. He said, come on inside. I went in this guy's house. And I promise you, in this guy's house, This is before year 2000. He had 5-gallon buckets like this, stacked too high, too thick, full of bullets, the entire perimeter of every room in his apartment. If he didn't have a million bullets in that house, 5-gallon buckets to the top, too high, too deep, around every wall.
Every room?
All around the house. And he started talking to me. He says, "I'm ready. When Y2K happens, they're going to turn into bands of wolves, and they're going to come." And he's going on and on and on. And he just got this faraway look. He had all kinds of interesting things in his house. Really? I'm listening, really? You think they really will come like bands of wolves? I'm talking to this guy like I'm like a conspiracy guy. I have time in my life. I'm keeping a straight face. He's got all kinds of interesting magazines that shouldn't have been anywhere where I was. And all kinds of interesting things around the house. And all crazy things. He's walking around the house showing me. These are 45s, these are 7.62s. These are this, these are that. Show me all these bullets. Of all the things I don't expect to do, he turns around and looks at me and goes, "Any women in your church I can date?" Of all the questions I didn't expect. Well, then what do you say to that? They're all fat and got beards. I don't know. "You know, I do, but I think they're UN spies. And they look like Hillary Clinton." No! No! I had a time with that guy. And I got done and told him, "You know what? I care about you and God loves you. You're important." Was he a weirdo? Absolutely. If that building catches on fire, this whole area is up in smoke. He had his gun, his bullet maker there. He had more. I cannot believe there's that many bullets in the world. But he's ready for them. Was he missing his marbles? Sure. But you know what? He needed the Savior and he needed love. And sometimes it's like sharp people, and the sad thing is they don't know they need anything. I've got it all together, I don't need anything. And they need to be humbled. Folks, that guy's a target and the sharp guy's a target. The rich guy's a target, the poor guy's a target. And you know what? If somebody's diligent and they worked hard and they're rich and successful, don't look down on them. Praise God. Sometimes somebody works hard, they're diligent, and they got a good skill, and they've been diligent in their work, and God's blessed them, and there's nothing wrong with them. They have a nice car, nice house, and prospering. Don't look down on them. We've got in our society, we look down at rich people. No, rich people are wonderful. Poor people are wonderful. No, God's people are wonderful. Everybody's important. Who is our target? Everybody. I remember going soul winning in Chicago. Chicago is a very segregated city. It's very, very race-based. You have one side of the street's white, one side's black, one side's Mexican, one side's Puerto Rican, and they do not mix. You don't go in the other areas. It's just, they call, like for example, one area is a white area called Canaryville. In Canaryville, they call it White Island. One time the police got mad at a black guy and dropped him off in the middle of Canaryville, and the guy never made it out. Just the way Chicago is. It's very segregated. They like the cultures. The black people like to be black. The white people like to be white. The Spanish like to be Spanish. And they all, the music's all different. And they live their own way. And it's fine. I love going to those cultures and being with different kinds of people. Because everyone is just as important. But I remember going to the area, the most dangerous area in America, Cabrini Greens. It was at articles on 2020. And the police wouldn't go in. And people die in the buildings because the ambulance came and they shot the ambulance up as it came there. It was so dangerous. I remember going inside this, and I'm telling you, I was the only white person within a mile. By myself, knocking on doors. And I loved it. I love these people. I was having the time of my life. And one lady stopped me and said, "You should not be in here. It's not safe." I said, "You know what? These people have a need. They need the gospel. I don't care if I'm in danger. I want to reach them to the gospel. I don't care what color their skin is, and if they don't like me here, well, then we'll see what happens. God will take care of me." And God did. I remember going in there and just seeing how much I love these people. I remember going to the Spanish area for 6 years in a first-generation Mexican area. I mean, it was all Mexican. It's funny. Mexicans and Puerto Ricans didn't mix that much. It was Mexican. All from Mexico, first generation, and they didn't speak any English. And I went there, and I started falling in love with these people, these Mexican people. Oh, it was so much fun. But the one thing that killed me, if someone told me you've got to eat their food because they get offended if they can't feed you. They want to feed you. Man, you go in this house, and little Junior's there, and he starts talking to Mama and says he's from the church, and they translate back and forth, and she's talking for me, and then always here comes the food. I couldn't handle that stuff. Here comes the stuff, and I mean, the red stuff. The red sauce, I don't like. It's too hot. They give me the green sauce. Here comes this food out there. I'm looking, I'm saying, I'm going to be in agony. Is it caliente? No, no caliente. That means hot, spicy. No, no caliente. I'm thinking, you're lying, or you have a different idea of caliente than I do. That looks hot. And I take a bite, and I... ¿Está bien? Oh, sí, sí. ¿Agua? ¿Agua? Can I have some water? I go to the next house. And they don't. I didn't want to offend them. Here goes again. The old green salsa comes out. How about red? I like red a little better. Red's just the jalapeno. The jalapeno's hot enough for me. Then you get, what's that, calabrero or whatever the green stuff? Oh, man. I couldn't stand it. It killed me. I still have stomach problems prior to that. It killed me. I was that. You know what? I love those people who learn to eat caliente food. Still won't like it. But you know what? They are precious folks who needed the gospel, and they got saved. They're the same as the other folks. As the people in Oregon City. You know what's the same as the people I went out in the middle of Molino, Oregon. Or when I went sowing in Boring, Oregon. It's an actual city. And there are rednecks out there. The guy's down dipping his mouth, says, "What do you want, preacher?" Want a dip? You know what? I found that guy gets saved just the same and needs the gospel as the Mexican guy who's trying to kill me with his food. As the guy who's in the middle class area who wants to feed me whatever. It's all the same. Everybody's a sinner who needs God. Who's our target at Open Door Baptist Church? We got a target. It's the world. It's any human being. Poor, rich, tall, short, fat, skinny, black, white, short shoes, green, mauve, polka-dotted. Doesn't matter to us. We don't care if you're any nationality, don't speak good English, whatever it is. We want you here. Why? Because God loves everybody and everybody's precious to God. So while everybody else draws their pictures of their target person, there he is. Knee sharp, got a cell phone, everything. That's our target. He's rich, he's happy, he's this, he's that. We're going to target this guy. While they're targeting that, we're going to target everybody. Two people got saved. One was a professional baseball player named Billy Sunday. He was rich, and God used him greatly. Another man was a gypsy boy, and Gypsy Smith, who got saved, and both did great works for God. Both of them God can use. I'm glad my pastor didn't care about how messed up I was as a teenager. I was a high-maintenance, messed up, not very wealthy child. And God, my pastor, loved me and invested time in a very messed up teenager who didn't have much of a family. I thank God for that. We have three requirements for you to be welcome at our church. Here they are. Number one, you do not have any major plague or anything that's going to kill us all. If you have bubonic plague and fleas are jumping off of you, stay at home. You're not welcome, okay? We don't want to sing Ring Around the Rosie. That's not what we want to do, if you know that's where the song came from. If you have a terrible disease that's going to kill us all, and you're going to get better soon, don't come to church. We don't want you if you have a bubonic plague, okay? We don't want you. Number two, we don't want you if you have sin that you're flaunting and you have a rebellious attitude, like the guy in 1 Corinthians who's living with his stepmom and bragging about it and flaunting it to even the world is talking about him. If you have sin and you want to flaunt it and you have a rebellious spirit, you're going to cause problems, we don't want you here. Go somewhere else because we want people who have hearts. Now, that doesn't mean if you have sin. If you have sin and you want to get it fixed and you don't love it, and you're not going to flaunt it, you're not going to cause problems and have a bad spirit, we want you. I don't care how messed up you are. And number three requirements. One, we said you don't have any terrible disease going to kill us all. Number two, you're not in it with a rebellious, flaunting spirit of your sin that's causing problems. Number three, do you breathe? No dead people. No corpses. If you outside of those three things, you're welcome at Open Door Baptist Church, and you're important. And you're just as important as I am. And if you never give a dime to our church, you're important. And if you give $1 million, you're important. And if you love me, you're important. If you don't love me, you're important. If you have drug addictions or problems or sin or you're messed up or you don't know which way's up or you're afraid that there's a conspiracy and there's a UN camera somewhere in this room watching you, you're still important. Because everybody needs love. Everybody needs somebody to care about them. All are under sin. Folks, Open Door Baptist Church is here for a reason. We're trying to reach folks the gospel. There are people that will kill themselves in this area.